Hello and a warm welcome to Think Omnichannel. I am your host, Graham Johnston, and in this series of podcasts, I'm going to explore the world of Omnichannel with a hand-picked selection of industry thought leaders and unbox products and services that truly enable an Omnichannel experience. Welcome to Think Omnichannel. So a massive welcome to episode number one of Think Omnichannel. It's quite an exciting day. I've been planning this for quite a number of weeks, months. I wouldn't say years, but definitely weeks and months, and eventually got round to it. So it's an exciting day. And I've got two amazing guests to join me on the first podcast. But before I do that, I wanted to explain a little bit about what the podcast is all about. And seeing as it's episode one, how I've sort of arrived at doing a podcast called Think Omnichannel. So I've been leading Omnichannel for quite a number of years now, and I'm also an avid podcast listener, and I've yet to come across a podcast that directly addresses Omnichannel. So I thought I'd set one up myself. So here we are. And why? Well, because Omnichannel transformation, digital transformation, multi-channel, all these different things, all these different words, they're a bit of a minefield. And probably over the last few years, we've been moving towards an omnichannel way of operating, and the lines between the different existing channels have become blurred. But over the last 6 months especially, those lines have become very blurred, and lots of businesses are thinking about how to address the omnichannel question and how to create a strategy that does truly reflect what customers want to achieve. So, you know, the word omnichannel is sometimes dismissed as a bit of a buzzword. So people have tried to rename it new retail, retail 2.0, unified retail, whatever you want. Whatever you call it, essentially for me, it's about understanding your customer, what they want, how they want it, and when they want it, and the best way to go about that. So that's what this podcast is going to aim to address, get thought leaders to share their top tips, unbox products and services that help, and just get opinions and discussions going exactly about this. So we are in the fourth industrial revolution, and the rise of cloud computing, AI and big data is driving a huge amount of innovation generally. And thinking about some of the most innovative brands, they are not just creating one piece of software or one piece of technology. The innovation really comes from the recombination of lots of different existing types of technology into an innovative solution. So if we think back through the previous revolutions and think about commerce in those industrial revolutions, it's played a key role, right? Commerce has been central to each of these industrial revolutions and also been shaped by it. So if the fourth industrial revolution is all about the recombination of existing technologies to create innovation, the commerce in the fourth industrial revolution should be the same thing. It should be recombining all of our existing channels to create innovation. And I believe that innovation really comes from a really strong omnichannel strategy, which equals a seamless experience for our customers. So that's why I'm so excited about episode one, because episode one addresses customers directly, and it talks about the psychology around customers, what brands are doing about understanding the psychology of customers and creating products, services and experiences to match that. So without further delay, I'd like to introduce my two guests for episode number one, Kate Nightingale and Kathy McCabe. Hello.
Hello.
So by way of a bit of an introduction, so first of all, Kate is a consumer psychologist and founder of Style Psychology, a human experience consultancy working with retail, hospitality and tech brands. Kate also lectures at a few universities as well. And Kathy has spent her entire career in global retail as an innovator in technology. She's passionate about bridging the gap between digital and physical experiences by connecting businesses and their customers. Kathy started her career on the shop floor with WH Smith's and Arcadia and moved from stores to retail operations to tech, holding CIO roles at luxury brands such as Burberry, Jaeger, and is now the co-founder and CEO at Proximity Insight. So we're going to explore both of those companies and also chat to both Kate and Kathy. So welcome to you both. Delighted to have you on my first ever podcast episode. Thanks for taking the time out to join me.
Thank you. It's amazing.
Yeah. That's great. And in true kind of remote style, we've got Kate, you're in your office. Kathy, you're in your car. This is absolute remote working at its finest, I've got to say. And I'm in my son's bedroom. So there we go. There's three very different locations to do a podcast from. So Kate, we're going to start with you, actually, if that's all right. So I've given a bit of an overview of you and also style psychology, but it'd be great to hear it from you rather than just from me. So tell us a little bit about what you do, a bit about your business.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's amazing. I've always kind of was super intrigued about human beings. So needless to say, I ended up studying psychology. But I always realized that we use brands to really kind of embed them in every part of our life. And therefore, brands have such an amazing impact on our whole humanity, on how we build societies, how we build relationships. And I realized that there's so much knowledge out there in, in behavioral sciences and especially psychology, but it's not really used by brands. So I ended up kind of eventually doing that work. And within psychology, we work with brands across strategy, customer experience and innovation. Our clients include Swarovski, Dowsing and Reynolds, who are amazing homeware brand, and a groundbreaking challenger brand startup called Snack, who basically introduced into the UK market a whole idea of a sofa in a box, as well as loads of other amazing both startups and global businesses. Some of them haven't yet launched, like an amazing sustainable and ethical fashion brand that is truly going to shake up slightly the idea of what it means to be really sustainable and not just talk the good, talk. So we kind of love those brands that really try to shake up things, how we're doing stuff. And the reason for that is our mission is to create a better world by making brands more human. It's as simple as that. And obviously we use plenty of behavioral science. I'm like, that's the whole idea.
Amazing. I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about that in a lot more detail because that sounds totally relevant for what we're talking about here. But I'm going to pass over to Kathy. So Kathy, I gave a bit of an introduction, but again, it'd be great to hear from you a bit about you and a bit about your business.
Okay, great. Thank you. Super excited to be here. And I think simply I'm really been very privileged to have a very sort of diverse and rewarding career in retail. And more latterly, it's been, mainly around tech and innovative tech. And I think I just get really sort of passionate about how technology can really help brands to, have great customer experiences. Since I've been at the CEO at Proximity Insight, really our purpose and what we exist for is really to help brands of all sizes to get closer to their customers. So it's really about that sort of customer-centric approach to driving experiences and really just being able to connect and inspire and nurture customers at scale. And that's really what we're about.
Brilliant. Thank you. And I'm going to ask you both a question, which I'm going to ask everybody on these podcasts, because in my introduction, I talked about omnichannel sometimes being sort of dismissed as a bit of a buzzword and people make up new names for what it is, etc. So I'm going to ask everybody on these podcasts to give a sort of very brief overview of what do you think omnichannel actually means to you. So, Kathy, I'm going to start with you.
I think, rather than talk about omnichannel, we tend to talk a lot about just there being a single channel. And really, it's all about those multiple touch points that come together to create a really seamless experience. So for me, that's what omnichannel means. And I was privileged to be at Burberry when we used to talk about the website being just, the world store. So just like another store. And it's really the window of the brand and the door to the brand. And the store is where all the experiential sort of excitement and emotion takes place. So I think now, that's even more important. So bringing those two worlds together, blurring the lines. So it's all about frictionless experiences for me.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Great. Great description. Thanks very much. And Kate, what about you?
Wow, Kathy, hard to follow that.
Good one.
So I always kind of slightly laugh inside myself when I hear omnichannel and any of those kind of similar terms, because when you look actually at behavioral sciences and how human beings and how their brain really perceives brands, we actually perceive brands as human beings. There's no differentiation between an entity of a brand and an entity of a human being in our brain. And that's both psychological and neuroscientific research that showed us that. So if I take that principle, for me, kind of, you know, a customer, if they're looking at different channels, it's almost like looking at a hand being separate from the head. It kind of doesn't make sense. It needs to be all sort of put together. So if it's a human being, you build a relationship with a human being, therefore, not with a store or not with a website or not with a social media channel. Or not even with a sales associate. It's all kind of connected. There are tools for building a relationship. It's like you go out with your friends and you might go out for a dinner, or you might meet in your house and drink a bottle of wine. Those are channels, or those are just different moments in time in our relationship. And that's kind of, you know, what always worries me. And I do understand that it's easier to manage it that way if we kind of think of them as channels inside. Of the companies, but outside for the customer, there should not be any difference. But equally, all of the channels should bring an extra surprise, an extra intimacy in that relationship. The same way as every moment we have in our relationships allows us to learn more about that person, that friend, that romantic partner. There should not be any difference between those two types of relationship. That would always kind of surprises me when people use those kind of terms.
Amazing. Wow, two amazing explanations. And we're going to pick a little bit more on what you said there, Kate, about psychology, because it's a bit of a golden ticket. Everyone wants to understand consumer behavior. So can you give us a quick crash course in consumer behavior?
This is a great question. Crash course. It's amazing how people always kind of want to simplify a human being into a few bullet points. We love being complex ourselves, but when it comes to trying to communicate to our customers, we forget that they are complex beings. They are not just customers. A customer is a small moment in time. It's a social role that they're playing in any fraction of a second. They are not customers. They are human beings. They are mothers, fathers, daughters, kids, professionals, women, men, doesn't matter. There's lots of different elements of us. And if we take that complexity out of, out of any kind of behavior or any decision that our customers, again, I'm like, for the lack of a better word, make those kind of decisions or thoughts, you're missing a lot. You're missing a lot of potential for building a relationship. So for me, the most important thing is to really kind of, first of all, understand the personality of your customers. And trust me, the amount of times I've seen customer profiles and there was no personality in there, or there were two words to describe a personality. No, there is enough. And I mean hundreds of thousands of studies showing you a benefit of really grasping a personality of your customer and how different an experience and how personalized an experience can feel to that customer because of that. So this is like the major thing. The next major thing that a crash course would say is you need to understand your own personality as a brand. Remember, you're a human being. You're not a brand. You're not some weird kind of, corporate entity. Whether you call it a personality, whether you call it a set of characteristics, whether you use the archetypes, I don't care. As long as you understand the more human element of who you are, really, of, what is important to you in your life and how you want to kind of change other people's lives by interacting with them. So those are the kind of two major things that you need to first ask yourself a question that any kind of, basic consumer psychology, anything will look at. But the third major thing is to understand that human beings are not calculated, conscious machines. They are full of subconscious, automatic, and emotion and instinct-driven behaviors and decisions. And this is the one thing that I'm so extremely passionate about. I love human subconsciousness. I love understanding how little tiny sensory elements like this shape of a button versus another one on a website can make you do something completely different, can make you feel something completely different. I'm not even starting in the stores. Oh my goodness. There's so much more to play with. And, you know, that single element of appreciating the fact that majority of our brain power is entirely subconscious and we don't have access to it, yet we can influence it with what we're designing, with how we're creating our brands, our stores, our websites, apps, anything. Our packaging, oh my goodness, so much issue with packaging in most of the retail world. Basically you can hear how passionate I am about it, because there's so much science out there that can seriously better our experience that we have every single day with brands, because once you know that science, you realize how actually terrible it is.
Absolutely fascinating. I'm going to come back to you in a minute, because there's some more detail I want to try and get from you around this, but that was a fascinating crash course. Thank you very much indeed. So Kathy, these podcast episodes are going to try and unbox products around, you know, what products and services are available for brands. Now, Proximity Insights, I think, is a great follow-up from what Kate's just said around understanding behavior, because that really is what Proximity Insights does, isn't it? It takes that and then translates it to enable that experience. So can you give everyone a bit of an overview of Proximity Insights and what you do to enable that experience?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a really good idea of thinking about how can you unbox the solution. So, you know, in terms of what we do at Proximity Insight, we have almost like a retail operating system that is there to help brands to get close to their customers. And it is all focused on the customer. So at the heart of what we do, it's a clienteling app. It's all about, you know, customer 360, understanding and being able to capture data around, you know, what the customer's preferences, what their dislikes are, you know, what their kind of products that they're interested in, and even down to very personal details, things like, you know, sort of skincare and consultations now for beauty. So all of that data is kept in a single tool, and then the sales associate can use that to do outreach, but can also use that to create appointments, to do all the service type elements around being able to serve that customer in a very personal way. So whether it's video consultations, virtual consultations, being able to reach out, you know, on WhatsApp, SMS, any kind of social platform. But really bringing it back to the fact that what you're trying to do is connect with that customer, because if you don't connect with the customer, either pre or post purchase, then you're losing that opportunity to start to build that relationship. But then also about how can you inspire and nurture. So there are so many times that you have a great experience with the brand, and, you know, and getting back to Kate's point about, you know, there's typically always a human involved around that. So it's how you made me feel, how, you know, what my purchase experience was like, and yet there's no follow-up, you know, there's no, literally it ends there, and that kind of emotion dwindles away unless you have that way of actually reconnecting with the customer and being able to reach out and sort of, you know, just say thank you. It's, you know, yeah. We talk a lot about with our brands about the power of thank you and what that can deliver, just by, you know, just by actually sending a very simple and making it scalable to send a simple thank you.
Fantastic. And you mentioned brands there a lot, and you obviously work with a number of global brands. So what are the common factors you see for successfully deploying this type of strategy?
It's a really good question, because I think a lot of the time, you know, and having, I still think of myself as a retailer at heart, and a lot of the time it's not about the technology. It's really about how you are able to ensure that you've got the why in terms of, so we give you the how, but you still need to have that why. You still need to have, why are we doing this? Why is it important? You need to be able to show the customer facing teams, whether they're in the call center, whether they're virtual stylists, whether they're in a store, you need to be able to show them the impact that they're having when they're doing their outreach, when they're you know, talking to customers, connecting with customers. So it's very much having that top down or the purpose and the values, which is, you know, really focused around customer centricity, is super important, because if you don't if that doesn't filter all the way down, then you end up having a tool that doesn't get adopted, or doesn't, they don't see the reason for adopting it. And you're also not joining the dots. So being able to show someone that they've sent an email, then that customer's actually not come back into store but has purchased online, is a hugely powerful metric. But it actually then gives me my, you know, it kind of gives you that reward for having done that outreach. And that's the thing that we see, where brands are very much focused on empowering teams, on looking at testing and measuring and making sure that, you know, they can try different things out, and have, sort of taking away as much bureaucracy as possible, but also allowing things to sort of organically grow and to be able to focus on the adoption. It is not about just putting a tool in and then walking away. You have to kind of keep that momentum growing, so it's, you know, so that it becomes sort of like the DNA of your brand, so that customers truly are at the heart of your brand.
Fantastic. And a brilliant segue into my next question for you, Kate, actually, which is about, you know, how do brands win customer hearts and minds? Like, what is it they do? What initiatives can you see brands that you work with adopting in order to do this?
To be honest, I love what Cathy said, and I know Proximity Insight for so many years and recommended it to so many different people. And I totally agree that this kind of solutions are actually things that build intimacy between a customer and a brand, because this is some of the hardest things to build. And intimacy is one of those strongest elements of our consumer brand relationships that more often than not gets missed in any other kind of strategies. And it really kind of boils down to our need for belongingness. And, you know, and obviously with everything that has been happening for the last few months, our need for belongingness is farther undersupplied. And it was already at a very, very low level of supply before then. So if brands are not really investing in proper relationship building, not just kind of quick customer acquisition or quick sales or anything like that, those things don't work anymore, and they haven't been working for a while. That kind of solutions, like Proximity Insight, where we sort of create a really personal relationship with a representative of a brand, and, you know, for us, in our mind, in our brains, it really, there's no difference. I'm like, a sales associate with whom you have a relationship is a brand.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no difference for the brain. And, you know, and if we build an intimacy with them, if we, you know, share our children's birthday and they send us an amazing message at that time, which all kind of tools, you know, the Proximity Insight has actually allow a lot of that information, obviously, if a customer shares it and whatever else, but they're sharing it because they build out their personal relationship with that person. And that person is an incredible asset to brands. And, you know, and one thing that that also another thing that it does is that precisely what you, Cathy, said, it inspires and empowers the teams that are often being so undervalued and so underused in terms of, you know, the beauty of a relationship that we can actually create between a brand and a customer. And if we can empower them, and if we can give them some element of a control over that relationship, they not only kind of going to do a great job, especially, you know, if they share the values of the brand, they also going to feel more loyal. So you kind of have a win-win situation, both for the customer and employee. So I'm like, it's really no brainer. And it really kind of, you know, as I said, boils down to that belongingness. And if a brand does anything to enhance belongingness for a customer, whether it's reducing loneliness and social isolation, whether it's building amazing brand communities, anything like that is going to be winning brands a lot, a lot of attention in customers. And it has been already doing that, but especially now after after what we experienced without the pandemic.
Absolutely. Brilliant. We could talk for days on this stuff, right? Because it's such a rich topic, but it's been really insightful listening to you both. I'd like to sort of finish up on a few key questions, actually. So brands listening to that, people listening to that thinking, what do I do next? So maybe a couple of big tips of what do I do now to sort of take the next step if I'm thinking about wanting to implement some of the great stuff you've talked about. A couple of big tips. So let's go to you first, Kathy. A couple of tips of what brands, businesses, people need to do now.
I would say that really the, you know, the probably three most important things is, one, don't procrastinate too long, because the time sometimes we work with lots of different brands and they're all different shapes and sizes, but I think sometimes, you know, you mustn't lose that agility and you must be able to not be afraid to try something. And I think that's at the same time, you know, in terms of making sure that whatever you do try, that you're able to join up the dots, because it's quite hard not to be able to join up the dots between different experiences. So it might work tactically to solve a problem right now, but it may not necessarily will solve a more strategic problem if you don't think about how it's going to play out and what's going to work and how you're going to measure it and sort of look at it on the longer term. And I think the key thing that Kate was calling out was just around authenticity. Mm. Don't forget that your teams and the people that are at the heart of your brand are probably your most authentic, you know, marketing vehicles, your most authentic brand ambassadors. And don't underestimate the power of that, because having a very passionate, informed individual that can help a customer actually is what the customer remembers. So that would be my two key points.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Kathy. And Kate?
There's this beautiful Maori proverb that I read in one of the most amazing books I believe every business leader should read, called Legacy. And this Maori proverb says, "From listening comes knowledge, from knowledge comes understanding, from understanding comes wisdom, from wisdom comes well-being." And it's as simple as that. Ask, listen, understand. Only then try to come up with a solution. Test it, ask again, listen again, and only then implement it. And precisely as Kathy said, try to do it as fast as possible.
Yeah, that is, procrastination is definitely one of the things I need to get better at. They're brilliant advice from both of you. Thank you very much indeed. Now, just, you touched on a book there. Kathy, any top tips from you on books that you've read that have inspired you?
Oh, gosh, there's so many, but there's two that I probably go back to time and time again. There's one called Super Engaged by Nikki Gatenby. And it's all about improving and having transformational business performance through putting people and purpose first. So, and it sounds kind of like a dream thing, but it is, I go back to it time and time again. It's a really easy to read book. It's written by an MD of a marketing agency, but it's just super. There's so many tips and ideas that you can steal there for teams and for enhancing and for driving and culture really is at the heart of any company. And the other one for me, you know, as a CEO of a startup / scale up is The Hard Things About Hard Things, which is Ben Horowitz. And that's just really about growing a business and all the difficult decisions that you have to make. And again, it's a book I go back, dip into all the time. It's written on lots of pages. So those are two key books that I use and swear by.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Kate, you referenced one. Can you remind us what it was? And please feel free to add any more.
It's Legacy by James Kerr, and it's about All Blacks, the most successful sports team, not just rugby team, in the world. And it's about their strategy. And James Kerr is amazing, because he's actually comparing the key pillars of that strategy with lots of other sports, military and business leaders' strategies. And it's super inspiring, extremely easy to read. Like Kathy said, exactly the same for me. I keep coming back to this book. It kind of looks a little bit like, overused. Another thing, it's an amazing book, More Human, by Steve Hilton. And it's Steve Hilton is an ex-advisor to Cameron, completely not a politics guy. And he actually had this amazing dream of, you know, making the whole kind of country, every industry, way more human. And obviously, he only achieved some of those things while he was advising, but he describes absolutely every part of our life, every industry, and how we can really make it much more human, much better, much more sort of well-being focused, much more sustainable, everything else. Again, extremely easy to read, even though it's fairly thick, but extremely inspiring.
Amazing. Thank you. Great tips. I love a book tip. I will definitely be adding them to my list. So thanks for sharing. Now, I'm sure after listening to this podcast that everyone's going to be thinking, right, how do I take the first step and get in touch with either UK or UCathy or Proximity Insights or Stylekai Psychology? So give us a quick sort of advert as to how we get in touch. So first of all, UCathy.
Okay, fine. It's quite simply, you can come onto our website, www.proximityinsight.com, or get in touch with me at Cathy, C-A-T-H-Y, at proximityinsight.com. And yeah, we are very simple. We're very easy to work with. Get in touch and we can have a chat about what your requirements are, whether we can meet those requirements. Simple as that.
Thank you very much indeed. And Kate?
Oh, it's really simple. So you can find us at pretty much all of the social media at Style Psychology, and it's usually me responding to those things. Or you can contact me directly at kate@stylepsychology.co.uk. Just a little bit of bonus to those listening. We actually very recently launched a completely new service called Your Chief Behavioral Officer. And it's as simply as that. It's a monthly behavioral, your own kind of behavioral team support for a selected period of hours every month. And we are proposing a 10% discount on all of our monthly fees. Doesn't matter which contract you choose, whether it's 6 or 12 months, to all of the listeners. You just need to email me at kate@stylepsychology.co.uk and use a code THINKYCBO. So literally just YCBO in terms of the letters. So hopefully I'm going to hear from some of you.
I am sure you will be hearing from people, Kate. Thanks very much for both of your contributions today and for sharing your contact details. A really fantastic first episode of Think Omnichannel. And it was great to get into the detail of what both of your views are on Omnichannel. And this is what we're looking for, is the debate on what that word actually means and whether that word gets used in different businesses at all. But been brilliant to speak to you both. Thanks so much for your contributions, and I'm sure everybody listening has learned just as much as I have listening to you both. So thank you very much for joining me on my first Think Omnichannel podcast.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thanks, Graham.
So that's it for episode number one. Thanks very much indeed for listening. If you wanted to get in touch with me around the podcast, then please just send me a quick email at graham@thinkomnichannel.com. And I'll be here next time for episode number two, which again is going to be very exciting. So thanks very much indeed for joining me today. And I look forward to speaking to you again shortly. Goodbye for now.